Tonight we're going to pick up where we had left off last week. We were talking about a thing about excesses regarding, you know, tongues. People get over into things, and one thing is I learned over time, and I learned from Kenneth Hagin, and I found out you get in a lot less trouble is if you stay in line with the Word of God. You know, sometimes, you know, God may move in a certain way or do a certain thing, and people will turn around and start to build a doctrine off of it. And you need to be careful in that area because God does certain things in certain ways. You know, sometimes I've seen this happen already. I've seen where people have gotten healed or something, you know, at a certain time or a certain way, under a certain event or something was happening. And after a while, they just build this thing around, this is how you get healed, and you have to have, you know, it was, you know, 2:30 in the afternoon, and it was this happened or that happened, and people start to, just because it was at that time or something happened during that, people get a little weird sometimes, and they'll start over, and they build doctrines around things of how God does stuff. I've seen already, you know, some God have people do certain things and told people, you know, you go look at the scriptures. In the scriptures, sometimes you're like Jesus, you know, there was one guy, you know, Jesus spit in his eyes. Another time he went and spit in dirt and made some mud and put it in the guy's eyes. But he didn't run out and do that to everybody. And that's why you got to be led by the Spirit. You don't build doctrines on things. So we just don't start a spit doctrine, you know. You got to... But people do that stuff all the time. And what happens, things get into excess, and it has more to do with the stuff you're doing than really is faith in the Word of God and listening to the Spirit. And dealing in the areas of tongues, I think sometimes is why people stay away from tongues, because I remember Kenneth Hagin talking about, we were talking last week where people were, we talked about one of the excesses, people would be fighting the devil in tongues. And Brother Hagin had talked about it because he saw that happen back years ago. That took place in people. But then in the 1990s, that stuff came around and came back again. And the people get over into these areas of doing things. There is absolutely no place in Scripture that shows or teaches us in any way that we're... in tongues, we fight the devil or anything like that. From a scriptural standpoint, there's no basis for that. Now, that doesn't mean that when we're praying in tongues, it does not affect things in the spirit, or might not affect surely he's going to affect the devil and what he's doing. God may have you at some times while you're maybe praying in tongues and direct you to do a certain things and maybe concerning the devil. But we don't build a doctrine and say, well, this is what we're doing when we pray in tongues. Because in 1 Corinthians 14:2, we had read where it says there, numbers of times, it says, for he who speaks in a tongue does not speak to men, but to God, for no one understands him. However, in the spirit he speaks mysteries. And tongues is about us speaking to God. And it's about talking to God. We talked about it. It's for edification and things. Also, the Holy Spirit may move us to pray through for others or whatever else in tongues. But we're hooking up with God. And that's one thing is when, you know, generally, just from prayer standpoint, I saw this happen back in the late 80s and into the early 90s. This stuff started off and really got things out into left field. Really got things messed up. People became more devil-minded than they did God-minded, you know. And they were always, you know, like fighting and always trying to push through. And then people started getting the idea then that, you know, that God, you know, you're over here fighting the devil and, you know, you're trying to get God to join up with you. To hook up to the devil. Understand this, you're a Christian. You don't have to convince God to hook up with you. He's already decided that. We're not trying to get God to do something for us. We as believers, we have a covenant, and our covenant states promises. The Bible says all the promises are yes and amen. It's a New Testament. So all the promises stated in the New Testament are already yes and amen. We're not trying to get God to do something for me. I don't have to. God's already done all he's going to do. He's blessed us with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places, Christ Jesus. He's not going to. You and I receive the promises of God. We're not praying to get him to give them to us. Because if you're doing that, that's unbelief. We're not trying to pray to God to get him to give us anything. God's on your side. I mean, that's a settled fact. And so God's not going to, if you go to God, I don't care if you've missed it, God is going to direct you to get you back on the path. He's not going to turn around, thump you, oh, just tough, I'm tired of you doing this. God's always going to try to move you back into place to receive the promise. That's what he does. If he isn't going to do that, well, I mean, what's the point in praying or doing anything? You're not going to twist his arm in prayer and make him do something he didn't want to do anyhow. That's never going to happen. And see, some people, they use prayer like that. Like, I'm going to go pray, and I'm going to get before God, and I'm just going to keep praying until he does something. Well, you're probably going to pray and never get the Holy Spirit to hook up with you. Because the Holy Spirit is not going to hook up with you thinking God is the guy that's the problem. He's not going to hook up with that. He can't. God isn't our problem. In dealing with the devil, we have to have a right perspective. That's why some people, from a standpoint of prayer, why I think Christians look at prayer, where prayer becomes a drudge to many Christians rather than a place of success or a place where they're going to, where you hook up with God, and this is where, you know, God and I work together, and it becomes something that is exciting rather than something that is just hit and miss. And I think that's one of the problems. Most people's prayer life is a hit and miss thing, and I think it's hit and miss from this standpoint, is because most of the time that their prayers do get answered, it's only because of the mercy of God. It wasn't because of faith. So they don't really know how they hook up with things. They don't really know how to. And it's one of the things that really changed for me was listening to Kenneth Hagin teaching in prayer and that stuff. And he talked about in his life, when Kenneth Hagin said this, he said, like at that time, I remember the first time I heard him say it. He said, in 40 years of praying, I have never prayed one time in 40 years, he said, for something and I didn't get it. And I said, well, probably 99.9% of the church can never say that one. But you know, one of the things that I learned, it wasn't that he knew so many things about prayer. It was his whole attitude about prayer. He believed when he prayed, God was going to do it for him. He was totally different. His whole idea about prayer was totally different than other people were. And when I started to find that out, his difference. It's just like when people get over in the areas of prayer. See, a lot of people, they get over into things and they get, you know, it's nice. You may have a vision. You may have something or other like that. But you stay in line with the Word. Kenneth Hagin always did this. Even if he was praying and had a vision and Jesus appeared, he always said this: I will not teach anything or tell anybody about an experience I had in the Spirit if I can't prove it by the Scriptures. In other words, the principle must be in the Scripture. It has to be there. Now, I've had people tell me already and tell me things that they've had in visions and tell me stuff. And I've sat with people already and I've told them. I said, what you're telling me is opposite of what the Bible teaches. And I take them to Scriptures, and I had people just get downright bad at me. Just, well, I know what I saw. Well, go ahead, have a big time with it. But if the Bible says something different than I see in a vision or I hear, I'm not going to go along with it. And that doesn't mean, like, sometimes you might have to ask God say, you know, because there's one thing, we don't know everything about the Bible, but we shouldn't go around setting and basing doctrines on things unless we know what the Scripture says about it. And that's when you ask, if you have an experience, then ask God about the experience. Find out if that principle is in the Bible, if it's there, because you can't build a doctrine off of something you saw in the Spirit or something. You can't do that. And if it is biblical, God, through the Holy Spirit, will teach you. But dealing over the areas, when we go to pray, understand you're hooking up with God. And when you're praying in tongues, you're hooking up with God. Your spirit, by the Holy Spirit, is praying, talking to God. Hallelujah. You're hooked up with God. So you're not trying to get God to do something for you, you're cooperating with God, and God's cooperating with you. So understand that it's a partnership, a workers together with Him. You're a partner with God, and so God's not trying to get you to jump through some hoops. So, you know, to do something, if you just jump through enough hoops and you just do enough things, then He'll do something for you. If you just get into it, just do it enough. And, you know, something like I learned with Kenneth Hagin about prayer. You know, people, he said one time, some people ask him, by praying and praying a long time. Sometimes I pray, you know, pray over certain things. I might pray a long time. But they said to him, well, how long do you pray? And he said, well, I just pray long enough to get the job done. He said, if I can get it done in 2 minutes, we get it done in 2 minutes. He said, if it takes me an hour, we'll pray an hour. But however how long. And so, see, most people, they get this idea. It's just like, I have this happen all the time where people either email me or people call on the phone, and here's their idea. They're calling everybody they know to pray about a certain thing. And I know what they're doing. They're not in faith at all about it. They think if you can get enough people to pray, you can get something done. And they don't. So this I know. They're not in faith. They're asking you to agree with them. They don't even believe they can get it. They believe they have to get. Now, but it's like this. When does the number of people become right that you could get it? When's the amount? Well, see, I don't find it from the Word. The Bible says it's two agrees by touching anything they ask. That's pretty good. Now look, if you can get two people and get anything done. Now it's nice. If you could get 100 people to agree, that'd be a powerful thing. But I am so thankful. I've never in my life had to get somebody else to join with me to get healed. I've gotten it every time. I've never had anybody have to get people to join together. It's why? Because healing belongs to Ed Gibson and it belongs to you. And you don't need to have somebody else get together with you because God gave it to you. He gave you healing. You ought to get somebody else to jump in it. Now, if you want to, it's nothing wrong with it. It's great you get people to join together with you. There's nothing wrong with it. But see, if you have the wrong idea going into it, well, if I don't get somebody else, what are people looking for? I'm trying to find somebody who can believe I can. And see, that stuff doesn't work. Understand, God has given you healing. Jesus took your infirmities and bore your sicknesses. That's a done deal. And it was for you individually. As an individual, you can believe God and receive your healing anytime you want to. It's just like salvation. Do you need to get 2,000 people to pray so you can get born again? No. Anybody. God saved man individually, and the devil, you can get a million devils and they can't stop it from happening. It don't matter. The devil can't say, no, you're not allowed to get born again. I'm not going to let you. He can't do it. God gave it to each individual. He's given it to you so you can be saved. The devil can't keep you from be baptized in the Holy Ghost. He can't stop you from that. Because it's been given. The Holy Ghost has been given by God. It belongs to you. It's yours. So you can just go ahead and receive it. And so, it's just like when I found that out, when I found out that I didn't have to go, I got filled with the Holy Ghost and I didn't have anybody laying hands on me or anything. Now, there's nothing wrong with that. You can go you do it that way. Whichever way your faith will work in it, go do it. But I found out I didn't have to. I was listening to a Kenneth Hagin tape, and I found out I wanted to get baptized in the Holy Ghost, and I found out you can just believe God and receive it. And I was there in my bedroom, and I just believed God and received the Holy Ghost, got baptized in the Holy Ghost, spoke in other tongues by myself in a bedroom. So, but see, now I know that I've laid hands on loads of people over the years, got filled with the Holy Ghost. I've done that. I've ministered to people that way. I'm like Wanda got filled with the Holy Ghost, but nobody has, there's nothing in the Bible say you have to do it that way. That's the way it has to be. Just think of the day of Pentecost. Ain't nobody laid hands on nobody, and 120 people got filled with the Holy Ghost. So, these things are, we can receive them. And so, this is one of the things when people get over and get off the Word, it's just like this thing with people get over and fighting the devil and in tongues and doing things. See, when people leave the Word of God and they start these things, it gets people off base and it gets weird. One of the things that they called this in the 90s, you know, they added new names to it. They called it warring in tongues. And they really got weird. And I actually saw films of this. I mean, people just got down so right, oh, squirrely on this. They would have a person, and, you know, one of the ways they become devil conscious, and after a while, everybody's got a devil, you know, and so then they have what they call deliverance services, and I'm serious. You would probably get a demon in these services, and I'm not kidding you. I'm telling you the truth. You get anybody gets over in this weird stuff, you don't want to mess around and get in playing with them. The devil's not something you go play around with. Now, I'm not afraid of the devil. I ain't worried about the devil. But I ain't going to go play with it and act stupid about this stuff. But they would actually, I saw this a number of times. They'd take a person who they said had a demon, and they literally tied him to a chair. And they'd spend hours on end, you know, praying in tongues, like, you know, I mean, just screaming as loud as they could, screaming at this person to cast the devil out. You know, they believe just, I mean, it was absolutely insane. To me, I was like, these are just a bunch of demonic idiots. I mean, the person who had a demon was much better off than they were. It was crazy. And they were doing this stuff. And I mean, loads of people were joining up with this kind of thing, and they were doing it. It's like, it was really weird. But this warring in tongues got really weird. Then after a while, you know, they had to deal with the demons. They were renting airplanes and flying over cities, and you had to get up higher to go pray to deal with these demons. See, and you start doing, they get in all these kinds of weird things. Now, if God would tell you, you go get an airplane and fly somewhere, go do it. But I'm going to tell you this. I mean, don't make no kind of doctrine that you're going to have to get in an airplane to go deal with a demon over a nation. It's one thing, and get this. I was praying when we first started our church, and I had been spending a lot of time in prayer, and God dealt with me in some things. And back in the late 80s and into the 90s, there was a lot of this crazy stuff was going around. A lot of strange stuff was going around. And what they were dealing with was they were praying to break the power of the devil over cities. And they were always doing this stuff, and they were going through us. And if you haven't noticed, did it work? Did America become more spiritual doing that? Because really they were wasting their time. It's one of these, that was part of this warring stuff. And they started this, and what they became is devil conscious. And I was praying one day. The Lord spoke to me about demonic powers. And he spoke to me concerning Lebanon. He said, and you need to understand this. He reminded me of something that Kenneth Hagin. Kenneth Hagin had a vision. And in the vision, Jesus taught him in a vision how to deal with demonic powers. And he went through the scriptures with him, but also showed how demon powers affect people. And in that one, in the vision that he had, he showed him a sinner. And a sinner who, he would talk to him about a person becoming obsessed with a way of thinking. And he said concerning this, a sinner. He said, if he doesn't yield to that spirit, he said, that spirit can't make him do anything. See, people have the idea that the devil can force you to do things. And see, then the Lord spoke to me, and he said, now you take the city of Lebanon. He said, if nobody yields to the devil, he said, I don't care how many devils are over that city. He said, I don't care how many. If you don't yield to them, they can't do much. The devil can only do very much of anything if I yield to them. If you don't yield to them, then you're not going to have a problem. It's just like God. If you don't yield to God, he don't get to do too much either. And see, everybody's putting this thing over is like these demonic powers can just do what they want. And what they don't realize is what they're doing is they're yielding to that power when they do that. They give it a supremacy. They give it an authority over their life. Oh, we got to break this power, or we can't do things, or we can't, you know. And what happens, they get around, and so people started getting weird. And, you know, this one church, God told me to go and to help this minister start out this one church and stuff. So they'd join together in Sunday mornings before service. They'd come in and pray, and they'd pray, and they'd bind the devil from coming in the building. That no demon can come in this building, and they'd go around there praying like that. And I said, don't you want any sinners to come in here? I said... I said, you know what, literally? I said, you guys can do it. I said, you bind the devil from ever showing up or anything. You bind him. You say he can't come in this place. I said, you can keep sinners out of this place. You can do that. I said, they were afraid if a devil showed up. Oh, you know, let him show up. Bring them in, dear God. We have authority over them. See, people get afraid. They're afraid of, oh yes, we're gonna stop the devil. We don't want anything of the devil around. And see, people got weird. They didn't realize, but they were exalting the devil through that. They were making him a big deal. They weren't dealing with it as if he was a defeated power. So these people got over and they called this, you know, they were doing spiritual warfare. This was things dealing in the areas of spiritual warfare, but it wasn't spiritual, and it wasn't warfare either. that doesn't mean, and understand this, that doesn't mean when you're praying or something like that, God, and even praying in tongues, that God may at times have you deal with a demonic thing might come up. I've had it happen already. But it's me and God talking, and he tells me to go do something. But it ain't me over discussing it with the devil. or over, you know, warring with the devil. You know, if I want to do something, I want to hear from heaven or hear what God wants to do about it. So you don't fight the devil. We're not trying to fight the devil. We need to get a hold of the fact that the devil is already defeated. When you go to prayer, the devil is already defeated. We are not seeing the idea of warfare from the standpoint of scriptural. And this is what when we looked at the New Testament, the idea of warfare is we're dealing with the enemy, but the enemy is already defeated. We're not trying to defeat Satan. You're not trying to defeat Satan in your life. You're not trying to defeat him. He is the. Listen to this. If Satan's not defeated in your life, you forget it. You ain't ever going to lick him. If Jesus Christ did not defeat Satan, you're not going to do it. That's it. That's the bottom line of it. He has to already be defeated. We have been given the authority. In a sense, what we are is very much of what, like, say, if we would look at the end of the Second World War. The Second World War, we had occupational armies after the war. In Germany, we had an occupational army. We had occupational army in Japan. What they did is they just enforced the defeat. They weren't in battle. They weren't out there shooting each other. But they came in and they were just sort of ruling and running things to bring things back to order again. But they were not there to run around. Now, there's times they did have problems with people, but generally, they didn't. They were sort of more of a policeman standpoint than they were actually, you know, from a standpoint of trying. They weren't out there trying to beat the devil up. The devil's already licked. I don't have to beat him up. He's beat up. Hallelujah. I just reinforce his beat up. And that's what we do. And so, in a sense, that's what the church is. The church is an occupational force. Satan is defeated, and we reinforce that defeat. That's all we're doing. Learn this. You treat Satan like he's defeated. You treat him that way. If you don't, he'll rule you. You treat him like I don't care if it looks like he's winning against you. You always treat him like he's a loser. You treat him like he's lost, like he doesn't have authority. You talk to him in that way. You talk to him like he's defeated. You don't go get people and say, oh, the devil's just running over my life. Would you please pray for me? No, you just said he's running over your life. They can pray for you. You can't get him off your life. You just said he's allowed to be on it. You talk to him like, talk about him like he's defeated. And you don't have to pray to try to get God to try to do something about the devil. You do have you have authority over him. And so in Colossians, in 2:15, says that concerning what Jesus did, it says, having disarmed principalities and powers, he made a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them in it. So Satan is disarmed. That's Colossians 2:15. Do you realize, now understand this, you know the only weapon Satan has? The only weapon he got, the only weapon that he has to use against you is to lie to you and tell you, you know, that whatever lie he wants you to believe. That's all he has. He doesn't have authority. He no longer has authority over death. He doesn't have authority. He's lost that. Losing the authority over spiritual death, I mean, he's just he's lost that. He has no weapon to hold man to anything. It's what he can convince you to believe that's not true. That's the only thing that he has. And that's the only thing he has to do. The power, Satan doesn't have power from the standpoint to do much of anything with the Christian from the perspective, most of our defeat and the problems we end up with, or we allow him to kill us, it's through our own power. We allow him to use our power. He lies to us, tells us, you know, he's a big deal. He comes along and tells you, I'm going to kill you. And that's why I learned to say, you can't do that. You ain't got nothing in it between me. You ain't my Lord. You ain't got anything to do with that. And this one thing is, I don't see, he'll come along and he'll lie to you. And what the lies do is they'll bring fear if you believe them. They'll bring fear. And so, understand this. God will never bring fear to you. God will never. God is not going to tell you something that's going to make you afraid, you know, that I'm going to die or something like that. God's not. If you're messed up and doing stuff wrong, God will tell you how to get back in line. But Satan, Satan operates, and he really, from a power standpoint, he has been disarmed. Now, the word said he's been disarmed. It says Jesus Christ has made a spectacle of this guy. He's triumphed over him. And so we have authority over Satan. And Hebrews 2:14 says this. Hebrews 2:14 says, "Inasmuch then as children have partaken of flesh and blood, he himself likewise shared in the same. It says that through death he might destroy him who had the power of death, that is the devil." Now we need to understand this. He didn't literally destroy by obliterating the devil. What he's talking about, he destroyed his power. He destroyed Satan's power. Satan doesn't have the power against. We got the power. When it comes down to power-wise, any believer is immensely more powerful than any demonic power. I mean, we got, if all authority belongs to Jesus Christ, all authority in heaven and earth, he's King of Kings, he's Lord of Lords. Now, that authority's been given to us. Well, what's the devil going to do? The devil doesn't have that power anymore. He doesn't have his place of authority. He's lost authority here in the earth. To us, to the church. Now, he has authority. He can go around to the sinners. He can do things. But we need to understand, as Christians, he's a defeated foe. His power over us. The 20th century New Testament says of Hebrews 2:14, and I like this because it says, "Therefore, since human nature is the common heritage of the children," it says, "Jesus also shared it in order that by death he might render powerless him whose power lies in death, that is the devil." He rendered him powerless. And see, this is why we need to be careful in how we deal with the devil. When we get in the areas of prayer, when you're praying in tongues, you've got to watch the things that people get into. We're hooking up with God. We're not going against a foe, Satan, who is some kind of great powerful. See, if the church views it like that, we're in the areas of lack of faith. And this is why a lot of times people's prayers don't get answered, things don't happen, because we think we're coming against this big, dull, terrible foe. And, you know, I mean, if we look in Scripture, was there any time that the disciples cast out a devil, that the devil said, "No, I don't have to go," and he threw the disciples out? No, but I mean, he does in the church world today. Because people operate as if the devil is powerful. They play around. They get over the areas. They're not really in faith about it. And see, Satan wants people to get over into these areas and get into this crazy kind of stuff. He wants people to go there because it exalts him. It makes him a big deal. In other words, you know, it's just like when I was watching this thing of these services that they were having dealing with casting out devils. Oh, my words. Jesus wasn't being glorified at all. God wasn't being glorified. They weren't even being noticed or talked about. All it was devils and these people doing this stuff. I mean, that's all the focus was the devil. What they don't believe, I mean, I was involved in sorcery and that stuff where I got saved. And my God, they were more devil conscious than I was when I was unsaved. And these were supposed to be Christians. So, Satan is defeated. Now, when we deal with this area, it's one of the areas that people, in a scripture that people use to try to justify what they call spirit, their idea of spiritual warfare. And this is fighting devils. The Bible, the New Testament speaking of spiritual warfare, really does not deal with the area of Satan like we would think of it. They always use this scripture from 2 Corinthians, the 10th chapter. And 2 Corinthians, the 10th chapter, in verse 4. Says this: "For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God for the pulling down of strongholds." And lots of times that's the scripture that they use. They just use that one and throw it right out there. Oh, see, spiritual warfare, and our weapons are powerful and all this stuff. And literally they were doing this kind of things back in those days. You'd go to churches and they'd have these swords, and people would run around with swords, and they were praying in tongues and waving their swords, and we're spiritual warfare. I'm serious. To get into all kind of, hey, I mean, today, church, they wave flags. We're worshiping God. We're waving flags. And these flags, what do these flags have to do with worshiping God? You wave a flag. Oh, and I've heard people come up with all ideas what it does when you wave a flag and what it does. Well, you show me the scripture where it says that, you know. See, people do all kinds of things, and really, they have great faith in this stuff. And what happens is they don't realize they have faith in that, and they ain't got no faith in the Word of God. And you want to stay over in an area where faith in the Word of God. Now, if we bring that scripture into its context, and so I'm going to read it again. We want to bring it to its context. We're going to read it, and then read the following scriptures. It says, "For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they're mighty through God for the pulling down of strongholds." Now listen what it says now. It's what strongholds? Casting down arguments and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ, and being ready to punish all disobedience when your obedience is fulfilled. But what is it for? The weapons of our warfare dealing with casting down arguments, casting down anything. In other words, taking thoughts, taking ideas under control of the Word of God. Our spiritual warfare, if you're going to win against the devil, you're going to have to win in your thinking. If your thinking is wrong, the devil's going to eat your lunch. Because the devil's going to tell you, you know, he's bad. It's just like the when I had a heart attack years ago, and I went through the thing. I mean, man, I'm going to tell you what, voices were talking to me. There were many voices. Well, one of the voices was my own flesh. You know, you're in pain, and you have all these things of all these symptoms. You got the chest pains. You got, you know, your arms, that stuff. You got the heavy breathing. You got the sweats and any other. And nausea. I had all this, you know, these things going on, all this stuff. And there's a voice going on in my mind. You're going to die. You're going to die. Well, I had to take thoughts into captivity. You cannot win the battle. You can't win the battle if you ain't going to stand against the thoughts. Because those thoughts, what they want you to get over, those thoughts come for the whole purpose, to make you afraid, to make you worry. They want you to make your decisions based on what they have said. Well, if he's going to be able to kill me, then I got to, maybe I can't get to the hospital on time. You'll start thinking like that. That's why many people, you're not going to see many really miraculous things take place till people learn to bring their thoughts into captivity and take a stand and say, hold it, the Bible says this and that's it. And I stood up and I just said to the devil, I said, devil, you can't kill me. You have no authority over me. Well, I'm going to tell you what. I didn't say it because of my flesh felt like there was all kind of authority over it. But I said, no, you're not going to do that. You're not going to kill me. There's one thing I decided right there, though. And out of that day, I was thinking, I ain't going to go around. I ain't going to the doctor. I'd rather be dead than spend the rest of my life taking medications and going through all that kind of stuff. And I said, I decided right there, I ain't doing that. And I told him, I said, you can't kill me because you don't have authority. He doesn't. But it's any Christian. He does not. But see, the battle is in the mind. The battle is not this spiritual. You're out here, you know, fighting against this devil. It's about your mind. Who are you going to side with in your thoughts? Who are you going to side with on this thing? Because your decision, your actions are going to be determined by what you decide to believe at that time. See, I was dealing with arguments. I was dealing with that at that time. I was going through those things. And then I turned around and I got really crazy when I said, I'm going to go for a run. Oh my God, I went back in the house and I tell you, I felt terrible. I tell you what, I felt like I was going to die. I felt like I was. But I said, I'm going for a run. And I changed clothes, put on running stuff, went outside and started to run. Maybe I think different about it. I'm just type of guys with, it's like, well, if it's going to kill me, I'm at least trying to, you know, do something that is at least, you know, heading in the direction of faith rather than go roll over. That's just the type of person I am. It's like, I'd rather be dead than not believe God. See, most people, they'll side up with the devil just to live 15 minutes more. That's the difference. To me, it don't matter. To me, that just is like, no. I don't know. People say, well, you're stubborn. Well, good. Glory to God. I'm going to stay that way. Let me alone. Because I found out it works. It works. And it does. And I started running down the road. And the whole time I'm running down the road, I mean, there's this argument going on. And the whole time I'm have to take those arguments, I'm have to hold them for what they for what this argument is and what the Bible says. And I'm doing this the whole time I'm running down the road. But I kept siding. I never, ever one time put a voice toward what was happening to me in the physical. I never said it. I never talked it, never said it. The argument that was coming against me, I never spoke it one time. I didn't speak it one time. I just would only say what the Bible said. That's all I would say. I wouldn't say another thing. I wouldn't do it. I wasn't going to say it. I thought, the whole thing is that I would have rather died running down that road, doing the best I could to believe the Word of God, than turn around and go do something else. I mean, it's like, no, this stuff's either true or it's not. You come the place you're going to have to come the place in your life to prove out the Word of God that it's true, because if you don't, the devil will always just hold you in that place. He's got an argument. Everything I've ever run into, he always has an argument for it. He's got an argument. And that's what I was dealing with. I was dealing with this argument. This was the battle. The battle, when I was going down through, I'm going to tell you, the battle of my mind was 100 times worse than my body, what was going on in my body. The war was going on in my mind. And I'm just fighting. I'm doing everything I can to try to only think in one direction. I'm doing everything. And believe me, the voices. What are the people in your church going to think when they find you dead along the road? He must have said that to me 100 times going down there. And I was running. Well, I wasn't really running too well at that time. I was I don't know if I was a little more than a fast walk. Probably wasn't a very good gait at that either. But I was hurting. But my mind, there was a war going on, and I kept. But I'll never forget. I hit the first mile down my place, 1 mile down the road. There's a crossroad. It's 1 mile down the road. And when I hit that crossroad, power of God came on me, and every symptom in my body stopped just instantly. And I took off running. And I ran 5 miles and came back home. I had a couple times the devil tried to bring some symptoms back on me, and I just told him to go jump on that. We ain't going to that place. Just forget it. But what happens, I'm just telling you, the war's in the mind. That's what people fight. I see it with people. You know, when people go along, if you don't learn to operate about this war thing, that's when something bad happens or goes on or something. You know, you see like, bad accident, and people start going bananas. The reason they do, they can't control their minds. By what they see and what they feel, they can't control their minds. And if you can't control your mind, you can't win the war. You can't win the war. It's in your mind because everything you have. And it's not only with health, it's everything. Anything you go to believe God for, there's going to be opposition in your mind to fight you to get you to believe something else than what you're standing on. That's the way it works. That's the big fight. The big fight is over the mind. It's learning to only say what the Word of God says and not say what's in your mind, because all kinds of things. Your flesh talks to your mind, what you see going on out there, and then the devil will invite a few friends to come over to say to you things to get you to believe something else, and you're fighting that war all the time. That's the war you fight. And that's the war that's constantly going on. And that's spiritual warfare. That's where the real thing goes on. That's the warfare. See, the devil wants to get you to follow the fears or whatever it is that you're dealing with, whatever it is. That's what he wants you to believe. He wants you to move off of what the Word says. And that's why the weapons of our warfare are this, is to take thoughts into captivity to the obedience of Christ. You see, the church needs to come to a place where we start believing that. That man, God's given me power to keep me sane. I can think right. Because, you get most people just, when this happens or that happens, I just have a... Well, that you just said, but you have. No, it says the weapons of our warfare are mighty through God to the pulling down of these strongholds, these thoughts, these accusations. Even when you miss it, you sin, and the devil will do everything he can to try to get you to believe that God ain't going to forgive you, that the blood of Jesus Christ will cleanse you, but God's still going to hold it against you, or you know, you get all this stuff. If you don't learn to get in line with the Word, the weapons of our warfare are powerful. They're mighty through God to pull down these strongholds. You've got to start saying what the Word says. Hey, I'm sorry, my mind ain't going to go crazy. I ain't going to believe that other stuff. Hallelujah. I'm a child of God. The weapons of my warfare are mighty through God. Hallelujah. There, I can pull down these strongholds, and these strongholds are these thoughts, these accusations, these things that come against us. We're bringing things into line to the obedience of Christ. Hallelujah. We're winners. We're not losers. And talk those things. If you do good over around, you miss it, well, get back on track again and get back under the power of God. Start saying what's right, you know. But recognize thoughts of accusation. They aren't God. God's not coming against you. God's not trying to keep you over into to the mess you're in. God's trying to get you out of it. And so understand that about warfare. And when people get over in this warfare, that's the greatest warfare area that you'll ever deal with. If you want to come against the devil, you have to learn to come against his thoughts and what he brings to you and the accusations and stuff. Well, you know, you're the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Well, look at you. You did this and you did that. You have to learn to fight those thoughts. You can't ever walk in faith because we don't have a natural perfection, but I'll tell you, by faith, I'm perfect. By faith, I'm perfect. See, and if we allow devil in the arena to talk to us on the areas of natural perfection, you're going to lose. You've got to keep it in the area of faith. You've got to keep it in the area of the Spirit, of the Word of God. Keep yours over in that line. I've always learned the devil, you ain't got nothing in this thing with me. You ain't my daddy. See, I identify who my daddy is. You know what? There's one thing about it, you know. The neighbors didn't come over and spank us. If we needed spanked, it was my daddy would do that. And the devil ain't my daddy. He ain't coming over and spanking me. That ain't his job. And see, Christians get over there and they think, well, you know, they start treating the devil like he's a devil. Well, yeah, I did do it wrong. Yeah, go ahead, whoop me. You know, I messed up. Go ahead, give me a licking. Somebody's going to give him a licking. It's going to be my daddy. And my daddy, we already know what the Bible says, that already tells us about him. He disciplines us. He says it for our good. It's for our good. He does what he does to us. He don't do it to defeat us, to hold us back. He ain't trying to kill us. Your daddy ain't out there trying to beat you to death. Because that ain't going to lead to what he wants to do in your life. Hallelujah. The thief comes only to steal, to kill, and destroy. You learn to identify that. The thoughts that kill, steal, and destroy, that is the devil. His thoughts come to try to hold you into captivity. Why? He don't have a gun to hold to your head. He just throws thoughts. And he tries to get you to pull your gun out and pull the trigger. That's what he's trying to do. And so don't allow him to do that. You know, and this is why if we get the right attitude and get these things when it comes over in the areas of prayer, we'll have a ton of confidence in God. God's hooking up with me in prayer. You know, God's joined together with me. You know, what I'm believing God for, He's excited about because He wants to bring it to pass. He wants to do that. And so, the devil will do his thing, but identify what the devil does. And we can resist him, and we can resist his works. In Romans 12:2 says, it says, don't be conformed to the world. Be transformed, how? By the renewing of your mind. See, when he's talking about the world, he's talking about the world system. That's the devil's system, the devil's way of thinking, the devil's operation. Don't be conformed to that. Be transformed, what? By the renewing of your mind. Change the way that you're thinking. Take the thoughts of God on. Hallelujah. And understand this. There's nothing wrong with you. The devil will bring lousy thoughts to your mind, then try to condemn you for thinking the lousy thoughts. And he does that all the time. He'll bring a rotten thought and say, if you were a good Christian, you never thought that. Understand. But that's his power. What he had as a weapon to hold over a man was death has been taken from him. He no longer has that. He doesn't have the power of death anymore. He lost that. He doesn't have that power anymore. He held the power of spiritual death. He doesn't have that over you. You're a born-again child of God. You know, he can say whatever he wants. You know, if I miss it and he kills me, I still get to go to heaven. He still can't. He can't stop it. See, he's got to lose his fear. It's one of the things that's one of the things that I found out, and I've always taught people, in the areas of healing and things. Because I've watched over time, one of the biggest areas of people with whatever they're facing, sickness and disease or whatever it is dealing with the area of fear. If you don't lose the fear of death, you're going to have a hard time. See, that comes over in the areas of money. People are afraid, oh, I'm not going to have any money to pay my bills and all that. That's the fear of death. They're afraid they're going to have lack and want, and it's going to lead to death. That's what they're afraid of. They're afraid they're going to go under. You got to lose that. You got to become. When I lost that fear of death, and it's just like when the devil, when I had that heart attack, I didn't have the fear of death that day. I didn't have that. I had lost that. And I lost that by standing against it and realizing, convince yourself. Death, physical death ain't the biggie, folks. And see, that's the people. When people hold that out there, when I learned that, I started to see people administering healing and things to people. I found out that most people, one of the reasons they have the hard time receiving in the areas of divine healing is because they're afraid of dying, so they go do something physical. They're afraid they'll die. Well, man, if I die, it gets to go to heaven. Dear God, how? It's going to be tough, I know. It's going to be real hard. My God, it's going to be awful up there. I can just see it. It's like, I believe in this heaven thing. It's like, and see, it's losing the. If you lose the fear of death, you can go through tough things, and you won't lose hope. You won't lose hope. The devil's defeated. When Jesus Christ took from him the power of death, folks, what's the devil going to do to you? What's he going to do? See, this is the whole thing. You start getting the right kind of thinking. Now, I was always glad because really I learned from Kenneth Hagin, and it's really is because when I'd listen to him and we were in school and things and he'd pray, he was a man with such confidence in God. And like, if there's trouble, there's problems, God's the guy you hook up with. And you see that in a person, and it's like, I was glad I got to be around that kind of influence and really listen to that kind of teaching because there's a lot of crazy stuff goes on out here. I was in a church, the church that God sent me to help to get started when I got a little while after I saved. The pastor there, that church, for my words, they used to say, oh my God, you watch it. If you cast the devil out of somebody, that devil might get on you. They were, they dealt with the things like that. So what happens? You go up to minister to somebody, and what are you thinking? What are you thinking? The devil's got a lot of power. He can overpower me. Man, I've been places and seen demonic things. My God, most people don't ever see. I've seen all kind of demonic stuff. I've been here in the United States. I've seen some of the most wild demonic stuff you've ever seen in your life. I've never been afraid about it. Don't worry about it getting on you. The devil has to worry. Ed Gibson may get on him. That's what he got to worry about. And we have to know that as Christians, he has to walk in the light of the Word of God. Satan rules the world system. And that world system is dealing with a thought process and a thought thing. You see, this is one of the things. Most of us have been educated under the world system. And I want to tell you this. A lot of Christian education in Christian schools is nothing but the world system. They just tack some scriptures to it. They ain't got no more on the ball. A lot of them ain't got no more on the ball. Now, that doesn't mean everybody, but there's a lot of them. All they do is they teach the world stuff. They just add a scripture to it. It's a way of thought and a way of life. They live under the same fears, the same anxieties, and the same worries everybody else does. That ain't the system we're supposed to live under. And you want to be relieved of that. And that there is really is dealing with your mind. Don't let the devil own your mind by keeping you in the areas of fear or anything like that. Don't let him do that. Don't allow him to do that. There's nothing more tormenting to live under worries and fears of things and live like that all the time. It's just always having that anxiety on you and stuff. And I know as a sinner, you always have this. I always had anxieties, all kind of stuff like that. To me, getting born again was the most wonderful thing in the world. I got around to where, and I've had people tell me that I've had Christians, I've had ministers tell me that there was something wrong with my personality because there's things I wouldn't worry about. I've been told there's something wrong with me. Something's wrong with you. Say, yeah, well, let me alone. I want to stay this crazy. I live the other way. Why? Because you know what they'll tell you? You don't worry about something, you don't care. That's what they'll tell you. We have the church world today, If you really care, you worry about stuff. No? If you really worry, if you really care and you're worrying about stuff, the devil's owning you. You can ask my wife. I never worried about our kids. I never worried a lick. I don't care what happened. And we had some things happen. And you could ask Wanda. I refuse to worry about it. Why? Because I know this. My faith will not work if I let fear enter in. I have to take those thoughts into captivity. I will not act out fear. I will not put actions to it. I'm not going to do it. I can't do it because I know I can't get my faith if I'm acting in another direction. And I learned that. You can't. You got to take those thoughts. Why? Because I tell you, it's like me. The devil ain't stealing my kids. I don't have to worry about it. It ain't happening. You know, so we had one time when Alyssa was little and she fell off a jungle gym and down on her head and severe concussion. And boy, I'll tell you what, your mind wants to go over into the areas of, oh my God, you know, she could die from this. And it was there was severe stuff went on. But the whole thing, I took thoughts into captivity. It was hard. It was hard for Wanda. Wanda, you know, she had a terrible time with it. And she would think, you know, she used to think I was a nut. You know, something wrong. What's wrong with you? Don't you worry about this? I refuse to worry about it. Wow, the devil ain't going to steal my daughter. I ain't going to allow that. I ain't going to let the devil take my daughter. See, if you believe that, you've got to put actions to it. You've got to take the thoughts into captivity. You know, I will guarantee you this. I'd go lay down in bed and the devil would be talking to me. I want you to understand, though, thoughts unspoken are never born. You put birth to thoughts when you speak them. And if you have thoughts that are wrong thoughts and you start to speak them, you bring wrong things to birth. You start doing that. The only thing that I would ever say is what the Word of God said about it. That's all I would say about it. It wouldn't have mattered. I didn't have a whole bunch of other thoughts going on in my mind. A whole bunch of other things going on. But I'm not going to put them on my voice and bring those things to birth. I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to do it. And really, that's a spiritual warfare. There's things that you might meet in prayer with God, praying through things and dealing with stuff. But really, if you don't learn to do that in those areas, you'll probably never do it in the area of spirit and in prayer. You'll never deal with it. Because you'll be moved more by your emotions and what things and stuff are going on and what things are happening. You don't want to go there. That's where the battle's at. And I'm going to tell you what, it's a horrific, horrendous battle that goes on. Glory to God. Where are we? Just want to check, see where we're at on time here on this. One thing I just want to talk about here quickly is in the area. One of the things that people get into, and this has happened over the years too, and I know from years past I've read things about it and I've seen it happen, that people get over the idea if you pray real loud, they say there's more power if you pray loud. And people do get into this stuff. And I've seen them, they go into the extremes on this. I mean, it's just like I said, do people scream at the demons? And really, they were doing the things of praying. I mean, you'd have maybe 100 people and they'd be screaming at the top of their lungs, praying in tongues and doing stuff. And see, people get in over the areas of extremes into things and that stuff. Now, if loud prayer did something, well, then we would all should carry an amplifier with us and a microphone. And I mean, you need to understand this. There may times the anointing of God comes on you. I've had the anointing of God come on me and praying, and the anointing of God come on you. You pray loud, but you don't have, praying loud doesn't move God. Faith moves God. Faith moves God. I have had demons stop what they were doing at a whisper. Nobody heard me say anything and commanded a devil to stop, and it stopped. You don't have to scream and yell to get stuff to work. You have to use faith. Faith is what makes it work. People get over and they start getting things, doing all kinds of stuff, dealing with the areas of the supernatural. And, you know, just, I don't know if somebody come along and was praying loud one time and something happened and so they got over. Well, you know, then you pray loud if you want. I don't know, but people have done all kind of crazy things, you know, into those areas. But praying loud, sometimes the anointing of God may come on to you and you may yield with the anointing. But don't think that God hears you just because you're praying loud. But one thing is you want to do is you want to use your voice when you pray. Prayer is not thinking. Prayer is speaking. It's saying. The word itself means to speak. It means to say. So prayer is. So, I mean, you don't have to. I mean, all the time. I go to bed at night and Wanda goes laying beside me and sleeping. And I lay there and pray. I quietly just lay there and pray in tongues. I do that all the time. I sometimes wake up in the middle of the night and start praying in tongues. I wake up and I'll lay in bed and pray. You don't have to be loud or anything else. I've had sometimes, man, just laying quietly beside one, and I'm just strong anointing. There's a real anointing, and I'm laying there praying, but I'm quietly. You know, I don't have to, scream at the top of my lungs. But there's nothing. Wrong if a person does. You know, sometimes like the anointing of God comes and people. People pray loud. I was in a prayer meeting one time some years back, and we had this. It was a thing of the Full Gospel Businessmen we were doing, and we had prayer and that stuff. And there was probably maybe about 100 people or so there and that stuff. And we specifically meant to pray, and we were spending time in prayer. And an anointing come on me. I began to pray, and I didn't realize, but I was praying very loud. But I didn't. I was caught up in the Spirit. I didn't even. It wasn't until after about 20 or 30 minutes that I realized that I was loudly praying in tongues, and I was just going to town in tongues, very loud. But I didn't really realize it. I ended up the Spirit of God, the anointing came on me, and I stood up and prophesied for about a half an hour about a number of different things. And I had never had that happen before. I've had it a couple of times since. That don't happen. You don't have it all the time, but. Sometimes there'll come on me. I'll begin to prophesy. Sometimes I've had that just in my own prayer life. And all of a sudden, the spirit of prophecy comes over me. I've spoke already concerning our nation. I've spoke already concerning things just in my own prayer life. The anointing comes on me, and I start to prophesy, and have those come on you. Things like that will happen, but you don't make any kind of this is the way you do it. If that happens while I'm praying, that's fine. Other times, there's times that I pray and it don't seem to see nothing happen. Do you ever do that? Just pray and you get done. And if you went from the natural, you say, my words, why didn't I just go to sleep and forget? It may seem that. But folks, see, we don't go by how we feel. It doesn't matter to me if I felt some great anointing or I didn't. Faith's working. Faith's working. See, if I would have got there like when I had my heart attack, if I would have went by how I felt no anointing whatsoever till I hit that mile marker. But all that whole time before, to when I had the heart attack, to the whole thing where I got changed and got running down the road was probably about 45 minutes. I was having problems, man. And it sure didn't seem like what I was confessing was doing anything. Because it wasn't relieving a thing. I wasn't feeling any relief. And so we do that. Sometimes we pray and it doesn't seem like it doesn't, but it doesn't matter. Hallelujah. I'm operating by faith in God. When I'm praying in tongues, I'm not speaking unto men, but unto God. Howbeit in the Spirit, I'm speaking mysteries. Hallelujah. And if I pray in tongues, it edifies me. I don't care if I don't feel edified at all. It said it edified me. It edified me. And so, hallelujah. It's a working. One of the things we need to know about prayer, and I just want to read to you Matthew 6. Matthew 6 and verses 5. This is what Jesus said. He said, Jesus said, when you pray, you should not be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in the synagogue and on the corners of the street. They may be seen by men. Assuredly, I say to you, they have their reward. But you, when you pray, go into the room when you have shut the door. Pray to your Father who is in a secret place, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you openly. Now, understand what he's talking about. It's not wrong to pray, out in public. Now, praying every place in public from the standpoint standing out and just doing these, what he's talking about, there's people who do things just to be seen. There's people who do stuff And I've run into people who've been like that. You know, they'll go do something publicly. They do it to be seen of people. And he said, you know, these people, they have their reward. You know what their reward is? They got to be seen. That's their reward. That's it. And so it's not wrong. It's just like in a public service, we can have open prayer and people can pray out and do things, or we can do it. There's all kinds of things going. You can do that. He's not saying that every time you pray, you got to go hide out. But it does leave us in this idea. You know, you can go by yourself and nobody even knows what you're praying. But he said, you know, everybody's going to see what you've been praying. So in other words, faith in God is what makes this thing work. You know, it isn't a matter of somebody seeing you do it. He's going to reward you openly out in front of everybody. So see, you don't have to be in public. Somebody else don't have to see what things you're praying about. God has had me over the years pray loads of things that have happened and come to pass in other people's lives have happened, and me praying, and nobody knows I ever spent time praying about it. Like Wanda's uncle, he never knew. The man lived and died, never knew. There was me praying, and the power of God came on me, and he was totally healed. He never knew. I've had that happen on numbers of occasions, praying by myself in a room, praying. And I knew when I got done praying, I had it. I knew I had it. People were healed, delivered, stuff happened, all kind of good stuff happened. And it happened just praying in my room. See, God will hear you. Don't matter. He'll hear you in your room. He said, I'll reward you openly. See, I hold God to these things. I go pray and I say, now look, you said you're going to reward me openly. Everybody's going to see this. Hallelujah. Glory to God. See, we don't have to get out there. That's when God taught me this thing about the areas of, you know, dealing with money and stuff and things. I don't have to go around and try to hit other people up for stuff. I go in that room and I pray and God will, it'll show up. You just watch. Everybody will see. It'll show up. And so what God's encouraging you at is God wants you to have reward. You don't have to show off to nobody. Hallelujah. People will see your show off when the reward shows up. Hallelujah. They'll see. And so do that. You know, understand, and here again, God wants to reward you. He wants to reward you. So when it comes to prayer, hook up with God, glory to God, on these things. One of the things I just want to end with this is in the areas of cooperating with God when you're praying in tongues. Is one of the things is learn this. Learn to develop your own human spirit to be sensitive in your spirit to knowing things that are going on. God wants you to know the difference between those times that we're just praying, edifying ourselves in other tongues that we're praying and building ourselves up. And there's times that the Spirit of God will begin to move and you'll start to pray and have the sensitivity to know, because sometimes you need to hook up because He's having you pray for something other than for yourself. And you need to sense that. Many times, see, people will get senses of things in their spirit and sort of ignore it. Because you can get senses, even strong senses in your spirit. And people say, well, I feel such and such. They don't really have any kind of feeling. It's not a physical feeling whatsoever. It's something spiritual that's taking place. You can become where things, your spirit can get really sensitive in the areas of things where you sense things very strong and other people around you, nobody else will sense it. Yet, they could if they would learn to develop their spirit. And this is one of the areas of praying in other tongues. Praying in other tongues itself can help you in being a door open to making your spirit sensitive. Because God uses us. He's never said, we don't intercede for people outside from the anointing of God. You know, you can decide to pray for anybody that you want to, but if the Holy Ghost don't hook up with you on it, you ain't going nowhere with it. You can't pray and guarantee somebody else is going to get something with your faith. My faith will get me whatever I believe for from the standpoint of my life personally. But I can't make somebody else have something just because I want it. And I can't decide that I'm just going to keep praying until they get it. Other people are involved with it and God's involved with it. And one of the things you need to know is get over in your spirit. There's times that I've hooked up in the areas of praying for somebody and I had this happen on a number of occasions. There's people that I have fasted and prayed for. And every time I go fast them and pray for them, all it did was wear me out. And I finally said, Lord, you ain't hooking up with me in none of this. And I told him, I said, I ain't going to pray another lick about it unless you're going to hook me up, because I prayed and I said, but I started realizing there's people, you get over it. I don't care what you want. There's things you can't touch in people. I prayed and fasted for people and I knew God wasn't hooking up. And I said, Lord, what's going on? And the Lord spoke to me and said, you ain't going to move in that direction. They won't do certain things. They won't move. They know what to do and they won't do it. You're not going to get it for them. See, you have to know that. You've got to be able to hook up with the Holy Spirit inside of you. Now understand this about yourself. Yourself and your prayer life, yourself, for the things you believe God for you. Not the things you want to believe for somebody else. The things you want to believe for you, you don't need their cooperation. You can get those things. But I'm talking about with other people. It's learning to hook up with the Holy Spirit in praying. Understand, the Holy Spirit knows who He can do stuff for and who He can't. And that's why, don't just try to override the Spirit. Sometimes people go and they pray and pray and pray and they wear themselves out. If I get over there and I'm praying, I can tell if the Holy Ghost is hooking up with me. You know, I can tell. I get over in there praying about things and I can just tell and I just say, "What? Okay, what's going on here? Why ain't we going this place?" You know. But if you don't get the Holy Ghost hooking up with you, you're going to make it work. See, a lot of people, they think, well, oh, then what we need, let's get more people. If we got more people to pray. Then if we get all these people to pray and we just go around, see, they start doing this stuff. Well, if we just do this, then this will make it work. No, it's getting hooked up with God. So we don't want to let God sit out in our prayer life. Some people, they have their own prayer life. I found this out. I don't have a prayer life without God. There ain't one. You need Him. You need Him involved, even with myself. Sometimes I prayed and I've stood and I've just known inside there's things that ain't hooking up right. God, what is? I want to know what's going on. Has to do with me. What's going on? Where am I missing it? Why do I need to hook up? You need the Holy Ghost. And so you want to know. It's like Kenneth Hagin's used to say, if you've been praying for a long time, standing, believing God for a long time and nothing's ever changing, something's wrong. He said, when you believe God, he said, things will start to change. He said, you won't go years and years and nothing ever changes. And so, what do? You start getting, well, God, where am I missing it? What's going on? See, you need to know. And He'll help you. He'll help you as an individual. But don't have just your own prayer life. God has things He wants to do and develop yourself so you can become spiritually conscious of what God the Holy Spirit wants to do. See, most people, you know, I remember back in the 90s, they started this prayer thing, and it was all these prayer lists. And people would have all these prayer lists. Well, the Holy Ghost never got it. He never had an opportunity. What was all the people wanted to pray for. Well, I'm like this. I say, Lord, this is what I'm praying for, but if you want to do something else, you just let me know. We'll trash what I'm doing right now. Because this is what I found out. If I go over and do what He wants, I found this out. Lots of times there's things I never had to pray about. God's good like that. And this is why you want to ask, get the Lord, is there something on your heart? Is there somebody or something somewhere that needs prayer? You know, I can look at what's around me or what's going on, but what is there somebody? Hey, here I am. I'm available. And if I'm praying along somewhere, if God begins to speak, well, just hook up, God, whatever you want to do, I'm willing to go along with it. And that's what you want to do. You want to learn to cooperate with Him. If you do that, I only guarantee you, it will change your prayer life. It'll lead you. Well, it's one thing. You'll get into areas of the depths of the Spirit you've never been before. Most Christians never really reach into much of any depths of the Spirit in their Christian life. They never touch into very much stuff. And one of the reasons is because most people, they have an agenda. Now, I don't believe most people try to do it. We have a tendency to, you know, we got to have a list. Do this, do that, do this. And it's hard. If you don't renew your mind to the fact of there's a spirit realm, I think that's what helped me. See, I was always conscious of the spirit realm, even as a sinner. Over in the area of social, I always believed that there were spirit beings around you couldn't see if they did things. I always believed that. See, I've always believed much greater in the realm of the Spirit than I have in the area of the natural. I've always believed that that's the area of the Spirit was controlling what goes on over here. I've always believed that. That's why I got over into sorcery. I was raised in a Christian home, but they didn't know nothing about power. Well, I found out sorceries, those people knew about power. I wanted power because I found out you can't change anything in either realm without power. You need power. So I found out if I wanted to have power, well, I could have power over the spirit realm. That was the greatest place to have power. Well, now, what would be greater than you and I to hook up with God over in that realm? You want to talk about power? But understand this. You have to become conscious of it. It has to be the way that you're thinking. You got to come around things that you look in the natural and say, oh my God, what about $16 trillion debt? What are we going to do about that? And congressmen say, wring their hands and they go all this fussing and all this stuff over here and they ain't going to do a thing to fix it. The best of them ain't going to do a thing to fix it. Because why? They keep working on the natural. They listen to God, $16 trillion ain't nothing. My God, it ain't nothing. Our natural gas reserves alone in this nation could pay that sucker off in no time. But these ignoramuses, they can't. They're a bunch of ignoramuses. They're stupid, bound by the devil, living like the devil, thinking like the devil, and most of the people are on the devil's side working with them. And see, you got to take on a different way of thinking. See, to me, I mean, there's more wealth in this world, and I'll tell you. They could choke us all on dollar bills. You know, I'm saying there is so much money out there. There is so much wealth in this world. The idea that these people have of, oh, my words. Man, I'll tell you what, all of us could be trillionaires. Do you think God couldn't make everybody a trillionaire in his earth? He could do it with the wealth of this world. But it's all how you're going to think. How you're going to think about being down here, who you're hooked up with. Oh, my God, what happens to the economy? Hallelujah. Well, heaven's still doing fine. The streets of gold, God ain't having to tear a street up to try to pay a thing. It's going good, guys. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Well, let's close in prayer. Father, we just want to say thank you tonight again for the opportunity, Lord God, to look in your word. I want to thank you, Lord God, for building us up, helping us. I want to thank you for your power that's working in us, Lord God, to take our minds and thoughts under control in the name of Jesus. I want to thank you, Father God, that you're helping us, Father God, to walk out in this glory that you prepared for us before the foundation of the world. And I thank you, Father God, we're going to walk and live in it. Father, it's not going to be something we've talked about or something we're wishful thinking. Father God, we're going to get to live it. Hallelujah. In this day and time, we're going to come into the fulfillment of it, Lord God. Father, I want to thank you that you've changed in the times and the seasons. And I thank you, Father God, the glorious church is rising up in Jesus' name. Father God, your glory is working in your people. And Father God, I thank you that we're going to become everything that you said we would. We're going to do everything you said we would do. And Father God, Jesus Christ is going to come and we're going to get our full reward. We thank you for it all in Jesus' mighty name. Amen.